oh good, God's decided to start killing fucking pieces of shit instead of, like, good musicians.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a Geeky Boners episode. We talk about Zootopia and apps and crazy ex-girlfriends and weightlifting.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Hello, as well.
And as well. Today as is well. A Geeky Boner episode.
Bang.
Thunk. Apparently my
2 weeks in a row, we're just doing all the dick jokes. So that's
oh yeah, right. Caucuses and then boners.
Caucuses and then boners.
My caucus is so hard for this next thing.
That's and no one's boner this week is for caucuses. So,
no.
I mean, not any more than usual. So, so we're gonna. If you haven't heard of a Geeky Boners episode before, for some reason, like you're new to the podcast, a Geeky Boner is something in our lives that's nerdy, that has us excited in a way that either
borders on sexual,
borders or completely yeah. overlaps.
Like what gets you so hard, like so excited that you're like, oh, is it weird that I have a boner? And someone's like, it'd be weirder if you didn't, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah. What fills your nerd dick with blood?
Yeah.
Right. What
wings out your clam for me?
Yeah, wings like, your clam.
Yeah, opens me like a flower.
Yeah.
I'm staying out of this analogy contest. I feel like I have nothing
what,
to say.
What so
we can
just say is,
the pearl inside.
What engorges your genitals?
Ah, yes.
There we
yes.
go.
What fattens your labias?
Yeah. So, Tim, what fattens your labias this week?
Yeah, Tim, what's making your labias fat? It's International Women's Day.
It is.
You know what? It's International Women's Day, the one we're recording this, so let's call this...
Not that labia is...
No, but
women,
like,
but
when you get when women get turned on, the clit gets hard, the labia gets fatter, everything kind of opens up.
Women get hard, yeah.
When a woman who is born... When a woman in possession of a vagina...
There you go.
When a vagina owner, and not like Nick or Tim, who both own vagina.
I only own half a vagina.
I don't own it. I lease it.
You timeshare a vagina.
I only own half of it. It's...
You get it for 2 weeks every March.
Right.
So, Tim, what's making your clit stick out from your labia?
you de-hooded?
My clit is excited for Zootopia.
You furry.
Yeah. Yeah, I am a furry. No, I
no,
no, I'm not. But there's nothing wrong with being a furry. Anyway, I'm a parent, as you all know. And so as a parent, I end up seeing pretty much every animated film that comes out.
Yeah.
Because that's what my kids will both go see. And I got to say... Most of them, especially at this point, having seen virtually every animated film that's come out since Alex was about 3 years old. So for 13 years, I've seen damn near every animated film that comes out. And most of them are pretty crappy.
And formulaic.
And very formulaic. And I'm not going to say that Zootopia isn't formulaic, but they did a lot of things that to me were just really smart and interesting and different.
Is it Disney or Pixar?
It's Disney, but it is produced by John Lasseter, who is now in charge of all Disney animated films, not just Disney.
And is he from something?
He ran Pixar.
Okay.
He ran Pixar for many, many years. So I can't help but think that Lasseter is having something of an impact on the Disney animated film department. And the thing is that this is a movie with... A character, the lead is a female.
That's awesome.
Which in Disney isn't so unusual, except it's usually a princess. And in this case, the lead is a rabbit who wants to be a police officer. Like you do. And so the lead's a female. There is a co-lead that's a male. Mm-hmm. There is no romance between these two.
I like it.
I made a post about it, and somebody was like, oh, come on. There was all sorts of implied romance, and you know what? No, there really fucking isn't. There are no longing looks these two characters give
to one
another.
It's a goddamn heteronormative response.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. It's like there's never a moment in this film where you get the feeling that these two characters are going to embark on a romantic relationship.
Because will they, won't they, is boring.
Or even worse, when people are like, oh, men and women can't be friends, though, because heteronormativity, so therefore, like,
and it's really about whether or not these characters can be friends, because the main conflict within this story is it is a world where mammals have evolved to have intelligence, but they're still predators and prey, and the predators don't eat the prey, but the prey still have that historical fear of predators, that predators could become what they once were.
Hard to trust a wolf when you're a cat or a rabbit.
Does it build their personalities and stuff as well? Like, are prey people? Anthropomorphic, whatever. Are they skittish more? Are they
not necessarily, no.
Or are predators more aggressive?
The predators, no. I mean, that's the nice thing, is that they don't, they set it up so that, you know, there are predators and prey, and it's all about prejudice and not about the actual.
That's really cool.
Because you've got the rabbit, who's the cop, and you've got her partner, not her partner, but the other character is a fox.
Yeah.
And the rabbit has a natural distrust of foxes.
Can I show you this adorable picture that I have emailed to you that you can put in the show notes?
Yeah.
Because it is from the Disney Robin Hood, where there is a bunny wearing a blue shirt and a fox who wears green. And then compared to the Zootopia fox in green bunny in blue, it's pretty great.
It doesn't seem to me like that's a total mistake.
A lot of people on Reddit are saying it's not. So we'll put that in the show notes. I emailed it to you guys.
Disney, they're pretty well aware of the properties that they control. So it seems to me like somebody's like, hey, we could do this.
To me, it's almost better if it is a mistake, because I have an idea that the animators working on this are young enough that Robin Hood even would have come out long before they were born, maybe they saw it as a kid and it just kind of got in their heads.
Robin Hood came out before I was born. So
no, really?
I'm pretty sure it was early 60s.
Oh, okay.
So I'd have to double check. It might be 70s. Anyway.
Ooh lolly, ooh lolly, golly.
God will do.
So what?
So the
73.
Yeah, it was the 70s. So I was born. I just was super young.
Useless for not remembering it. Useless for not remembering it.
What are some of your favorite things about Rory?
Well, again, I really liked the fact that they went with a female lead, that they went with a no romance between these characters. Godfather reference that's just fucking awesome. And I don't know. There's always Godfather references that are awesome. But this was a particularly awesome Godfather reference, just because it started with the cliche Godfather reference, and then
on this, the day of my daughter's wedding.
Yes.
Yep.
But then,
that's the cliche one.
But then it carried it even further.
Awesome.
Which I thought was great. I thought they had so many really interesting characters that were secondary characters that had depth to them. You know, there's like a jaguar character who I'm pretty sure was gay. They didn't go out of their way to say this character. And what I liked about it is they didn't go out of their way to go, hey, by the way, we've got a gay character in this movie.
Yeah.
They just put a gay character.
Here's the jaguar's boyfriend. Like, yeah.
They didn't give you his boyfriend. It's just like, it's pretty clear, you know.
I heard that they had to change a lot of stuff, like, kind of last minute. Like, they had, like, the movie all set up and ready to go, and they were like, wait a minute, this is garbage. We need to change a bunch. And they had to go back and rewrite a lot of
Maybe
stuff.
They did. Maybe they did. But what they did worked out really well. Now, I'm going to say, there are a lot of twists and turns to the plot that I guessed within minutes of characters being introduced. it's
almost
not
like you're an adult and it's a movie for kids.
Yeah. No, my kids guessed it too. All had this conversation on the way home, and I was like, oh, I knew this like seconds after this character showed up, and everybody was like, well, yeah, it was obvious. So, you know, I'm not going to say, wow, this is the most creative storytelling ever, but It was charming. It had really good characters. And it was about racial stereotyping. It was about racial profiling. That's what the movie was trying to send a message about, which in this day and age, you know, with Black Lives Matter and everything that's going on and people saying that we live in a post-racist society, it was nicely subversive to show how
good
you can believe that you're in a post-racist society and you aren't. But I'll tell you, my favorite thing about the whole thing is Zootopia is like this city that's in the middle of this world that exists.
Yeah.
And it has different districts, and the different districts are based on, like, the habitats that these animals would live in.
Okay.
So, I can't remember. There's, like, the tundra district, which they have made into an Arctic district, and there are machines that are making it cold there, and there's a rainforest district, and there's a desert district, and then there's a district that's for all the little tiny animals, where, like, the big animals, if they go in there and they're running through there, they're like cars that they're riding like roller skates. Not that anybody's ever done riding cars like roller skates before.
Sure,
But it's just... It was clever the way they're like, well, you know, okay, all mammals have become intelligent, but there are still inherent differences that you have to deal with.
The size difference in mammals is insane. I mean, really, if you think about it.
Everything I've heard has been positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting because all the cops, this is really fascinating, all the police officers are herbivores. They're all prey, but they're big prey. So there's still prejudice there because the rabbit, she's the first rabbit that's ever become a police officer because the people that become police and the animals that become police officers are hippopotamuses and elephants and water buffaloes and polar bears.
Interesting.
I know. I don't think the polar bears did.
I was going to say, they're not quite prey, but
the polar bears are predators.
They're medium prey. They're high on the prey.
The polar bears are just straight up carnivores.
No, but like hippopotamuses are pretty terrifying.
Hippopotamuses are fucking badass.
Hippopotamuses
kill more human beings than any other animal in Africa.
Hippopotamus was the only animal Steve Irving was afraid of, ironically.
Bad choice, Steve.
We haven't seen it yet, but we saw the trailer that had the sloth
the
DMV
extended trailer
scene.
We
were laughing really hard at that.
Oh my god! And my brother. Okay, if you've ever heard me laugh, you know I have a very hilarious autistic donkey bray. As bad as I have, Riley's is so much worse when he's really laughing. And Riley was like, he was like, to the point where we were like, shh, calm down. He's like, you're so funny.
One thing I heard that I hope this makes it to the DVD release is apparently there's a newscaster that's a moose.
Yes.
So that character is region specific. Huh. So in North America, it is a moose. In Japan, it's a tanuki.
Nice.
In Australia, that newscaster is a koala. In China, it's a panda.
Oh, that's awesome.
In the United Kingdom, it's a corgi. And then in Brazil, it's a jaguar.
That's really cool.
The newscaster character is region specific, and I hope they put it all together.
Yeah, it's region specific. Suck on that, Georgia. It's a moose.
Because it's all different voice actors, too. And I don't know if all the voice actors are this, but I know one of the voice actors doing the panda or the tanuki is a newscaster from that country.
Oh, that's
so
better.
Like if we had Anderson Cooper as a moose or something.
Yeah, it might have been. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's great.
But the thing is, I'm not trying to say, wow, this is the greatest movie ever. It's just way better than I thought it was going to be. So that's why it's my boner. It's just like, I didn't expect the movie to be that good, and it breaks a lot of cliches that you expect. Like I say, the best thing was not having a romance between the two main characters.
Yeah.
And the two main characters are different species, and part of it is when people are like, oh, well, you know, you could tell that. It's like, no, in this world, it's really clear. You know, you can, a fox and a rabbit, they can't fucking mate. they just can't.
They can try.
They can mate. They can't really procreate.
Yeah, they can't procreate.
Anything can mate with anything if it's got enough. the gumption.
With enough lube.
Yeah, it's true. But it's pretty clear that it's in this world, in this reality, foxes mate with foxes and rabbits mate with rabbits.
That's great.
And so there's no way there's going to be a relationship between these two, and they didn't try and artificially do it. And as much as I liked everything else about the film, I spent the whole movie going, oh man, these two at some point, and it's going to end up in
gooey
some
eyes
sort of,
and
it's just, and it never did. And I really appreciated that because it was so unnecessary to the story.
Yeah. I feel the same way about Agent Carter with Peggy and Jarvis. There's been the occasional, like, you know, not even sexual, but like, oh, you clearly very much respect each other and have a great affinity for each other and love each other, but it's never romantic, and it's never, even in like the moments where you think they might turn that way, the most it's ever been is like grand affection. Mm-hmm. And I love that because that is such a, it's to me, it's so tired.
Because there are a lot of people that there's so, easy. So many real relationships.
Well, the worst part is that what that does is it sets it up. The whole like idea, the whole idea of like, oh, bitch friend zoned me or whatever, or and all that idea, you know, like that thing is like a big part of that comes from media. That like, if you're the guy and you're there long enough, eventually she'll turn and she'll see you, and music swells, and now it's on, and you're fucking.
And like, one of the things I like about those relationships, that relationship as well, is
Carter and Jarvis.
Anna Jarvis,
Mrs. Jarvis,
Anna. His Hungarian wife finally meets Peggy this past season and doesn't blink an eye. Moment of jealousy.
No jealousy.
She understands their relationship and what it entails, and it's great. Just instantly like,
how easy would it be to make her the jealous wife at home?
That didn't make those lazy choices.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed.
Lazy. Agreed. That's what it is. It's lazy storytelling.
It's a lazy choice.
Yep. Yeah.
So Molly.
Yes.
What has your genitals getting ready to function?
I'm engorged and sloppy wet for a really sad thing. I've had a Fitbit for a long time.
I just talked about a movie with talking rabbits. Okay.
No, it's worse. So I've had a Fitbit for a while, and I love my Fitbit. I wear it all the time. I wear it on stage. I literally have not worn it.
You take it off for the bath, I think.
Even at the Renaissance Festival, I take it off and I wear it in a pouch that's on my hip so it can accurately record my steps. That's how much I love it. And so I found this game. My friend Brittany told me, Princess Ivy at the Renaissance Festival, if you've ever seen her, she told me about this game called Walkamon. Wokamon. Like Pokemon, but Walkamon.
But Walkamon. Got it.
And it links to your Fitbit or your Jawbone or some of your other trackers. And you have little creatures that you choose a creature. And your steps give him experience, which levels him up. And then you can also tap him. Literally just tap, tap, tap the guy. And that earns you crystals. And you spend the crystals on his accessories. And his accessories give you more experience per step. And the more experience you get per step, it can help you get more crystals. And it's this perfect symbiosis. And it's a freemium game. You can spend money on it if you want, but I haven't spent a cent. It's just this stupid, fun way to be excited about moving again. And as much as I like Fitbit challenges and things like that, like, I don't really care if people I don't know are like, oh, I got 10,000 steps and I didn't.
A two-currency cookie clicker.
Yep.
Where one of the currencies is based on steps.
And you have to link it to your Facebook, but whatever. It's not really a data miner or anything like that. It doesn't seem to do.
I unlinked it almost right away.
It takes your public profile, which, if you're smart, your public profile shouldn't be much. So, and it's just this dumb little thing that I do all the time. It is my crossy road, Tim. It is when I am doing nothing and I am just, I can watch TV and just tap this thing and it's just doing things and it's super fun. I don't know. It's weird, but, So that's a mini boner. I was realizing it's a very small boner. I don't have a ton to say about it.
It's adequate.
Yeah. So I have another small boner.
Oh yeah.
If that's all right. Yeah. Yes, I do. My other small boner is how do I put this? So the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah.
My boner is for Rachel Bloom. I am like super, super in love with her.
She's the lead.
She is the star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rachel Bloom.
Creator, even.
She's the creator, star. I think she's one of the producers. You may know her if you ever saw the viral video that was on YouTube, Fuck Me, Ray Bradbury. The song about a girl dressed like a schoolgirl who wants to fuck Ray Bradbury because he's such a great writer. She went on and did a pilot, and one of the reasons I love her is her story is very inspiring. She got rejected by 6 networks before the CW picked her up. They picked her up as a like,
Well, like, it's a sitcom musical.
Yes. Right. And so they were like, eh.
And everybody's like, well, that's weird.
And so they picked her up for a half season.
Arguably rom-com.
Yeah. Musical. I mean, picked her up for a half season. The story is, and I'm going to paraphrase the opening song. She was working at a New York job as a high-powered lawyer, but she has high anxiety and depression and made her unhappy. It made her cry a lot, so she decided to move. She runs into an ex-boyfriend on the street one day when she's at her lowest.
Hang on, ex-boyfriend is like guy she dated.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
A guy she dated at camp when they were both 16. A guy she had a camp relationship with, which I can 100% sympathize with because I had a couple camp boyfriends that were like very important to me at the time, and now when I look back, I'm like, ooh. And sorry, camp boyfriend, who's not listening. But so she runs into him on the street, and he's like, yeah, his name's Josh Chan, and he's this awesome, help me, I can't think of it.
Pacific Islander.
He is specifically like Manny Pac, Filipino. It's this Filipino dude, Josh Chan. It's important to the show. And
Filipino Catholic.
And he's like, yeah, oh, hey, Rebecca, cool. Like, I was living in New York, but it's great that we ran. I'm moving. Like, I'm moving back home. Like, I hate New York. It's not working for me. I'm from California. He's moving back home to West Covina, California. And so she decides, because she's kind of crazy, that she's going to move there to be with Josh. And so she follows him to West Covina. Turns on a partnership at her law firm. And the thing is, this is the right choice because it's like actually like she's choosing happiness, but it's also awful because she's like moving out there for this guy who, I mean, she hasn't seen for like 20 years since and camp. She runs into him in the street. Right. And so he has a girlfriend and there's all these great things. It's a very funny show. The ensemble cast is amazing.
Yeah.
But the two reasons I want to talk about it are, Rachel Bloom, who plays Rebecca Bunch, the lead, is phenomenal at social media, very good at self-promoting, but also just really open and honest. She won Best Actress in a Comedy and or Musical at the Golden Globes.
She did.
And which is amazing. And the show is really great. The writing's really great. But also, there's a character who is a bisexual man who had just recently had a song about being bisexual and is very informative and how, like, why won't you do, like, don't you mean this you're just gay? No, actually.
It's like a 45-year-old guy who's
was married.
Recently divorced.
Divorced.
Has kids. And suddenly he comes out late in life.
He meets a gay guy who kisses him and he's like, what? And he's like, I'm not gay though, because I still like women. I'm bisexual, and is very out, and the song's super informative about being bisexual, and I'm gonna say it, like, you're just gonna have to deal with it. I don't know who I love. It could be a man or a woman. Who knows? And, like, if you're a man or a woman, I might like you, and, like, it's super great. And there's been articles about how it's reinventing the Asian men as both leads, romantic leads, but also Josh Chan is a bro. Like, he is a, like, muscle shirt, California, like, sup, Bex, brah. Like, his religious leader is a Catholic Filipino named Father Brah, who is a weed smoking. He smokes weed in the church and is like, oh, brah. They play basketball. He's Father Brah. Like, he's their childhood friend who became a priest. And, like, they have Josh Chan, who is, as I said, Filipino. And then they have White Josh, who's the white gay guy who at one point the bisexual character is like, you're gay? Well, why don't they call you Gay Josh? And he's like, because everyone just knows I'm gay, man. I'm White Josh. And, like, it's so great. It's breaking down all these barriers.
The songs are super funny.
The songs are funny. The music's great. Lots of good, like, musical style parodies. And really just, I think it's this, like, little hidden gem of a show that people aren't watching that is so sex positive and sexuality positive and race positive and gender positive. Her whole opening song the chorus is, they're like, she's the crazy ex-girlfriend. And she's like, no, I'm not. She's the crazy ex-girlfriend. That's a sexist phrase. Like, she's the crazy ex-girlfriend. The situation's a lot more nuanced than that. And like,
she's so broken inside.
Okay. Like, it's really great. If you're not watching it, it's on the CW, and you can watch it all on the CW's site. It's on Hulu now.
Yeah, it's streaming on Hulu.
They did their first half of a season. They got picked up for a second season. Then she won the Golden Globe. I'm positive there's going to be another season.
Oh, yeah.
The buzz is amazing. She's super humble and down-to-earth and open and honest, and
It's like the opposite of what happened when Justin Bieber went from YouTube to stardom. She went from YouTube to stardom, and because she was an adult and not a child,
Before the Golden Globe, she did a little video that was about the three pairs of Spanx she was wearing to get into her dress for the Golden Globes. And it was like showing all the, like, her and like all of her like a million shapewear pulling, pinching, horrible things. It's just, I think it's one of the more feminist shows on TV. For it being about a woman who moved across the country to follow a boy, it's a very feminist show. So as I was thinking about Wacomon, I realized it's International Women's Day, and we just watched it last night. It's really great.
People are like, what? It was International Women's Day last week.
Strap it on, girls. Yeah. It's International Women's Day. A time to make that Deadpool in your life really take it up the butt.
I mean, technically, it's not International Women's Day anymore.
No. You know what? I'm telling you right now, this is a good reason. Take this and play it and be like, look, I get to fuck you in the ass tonight. Molly said so on Geeks. God. Let's watch Deadpool and do it. Yeah. All right. Hey, Nick.
Yo.
Speaking of strapping it on and doing it, what's got you rock hard?
Well, that's some sort of lead-in, except it's not.
No,
well,
it is, though, because what gets him hard is when I strap it on and do him in the butt.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet.
But it's not.
Then
but
I jerk him off, reach around.
Your arms aren't long enough.
It's true. He's a lot taller than me.
They wouldn't be long enough.
It's not like you would know. Yeah.
Hypothetically.
In theory.
Your hypothetical arms aren't hypothetically long enough.
So my boner this week is at the end of this week, I'll have been lifting weights for a month on a program that I kind of picked out that a friend was using, and I used to lift weights in high school. It was a really easy way to get gym credits without having to like
run around and be an idiot.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I could come in for a 0 hour class or like an early class and do weights on a program and track my progress and results, and then take a shower and go to my rest of my classes and leave an hour early.
On a scale of 8 to 10, how high were you when you would do these weights in the morning?
Too early to smoke weed, even for me in high school.
All right.
But I haven't really lifted weights since then. A little bit sporadically here and there, but not on like a program, which is really like the way to do it is data.
Like any exercise.
And with a plan. And so I have rediscovered that, I hate fucking cardio and I hate, like,
well, you like fucking cardio.
Well, okay. But
International Women's Day, motherfuckers!
But I remembered how much I love lifting weights. And so, in the past month, I put together a full rack, a power rack in our basement to safely...
rack, International Women's Day.
So that I can lift alone, safely, and I brought my little Bluetooth speaker down there, and the program I'm doing is called Strong Lifts 5x5.
It was Fiona Robinson.
I think so. Yeah. I think she was the one that posted about it first. It emphasizes strength and not mass. It's not about big muscles. It's about really
hard muscles.
Huge muscles. It's about building strength in it very efficiently, and because strong muscles burn more calories when you use them, and when you use them, they get stronger. And so your general caloric use goes up as you get stronger. And I think that's like a good way for me to be more fit.
And Strong Lifts is a 5x5, right?
Yeah. And so 5x5 is something that is started by Arnold Schwarzenegger's mentor when he was not a bodybuilder, but a weightlifter, a competitive lifter.
Right.
And so, Reg something rather, but 5x5 is you do five sets of five reps for, you know, whatever exercises you're doing. And because you're emphasizing doing more weight fewer times, you get stronger compared to doing less weight with more reps. That makes you bigger. So,
or more weight with more reps, like
right, less
weight with more reps tends to make you toned. More weight with more reps is bodybuilding.
And if you're training for strength, you kind of want to hit in that middle, and, mm-hmm. and 5x5 kind of seems to be the way to do it. So, it's every other day. I haven't missed a day since I started, like February 11th or something like that, and I got to the point this past week where I realized that I'm two exercises away from needing to go buy more weights.
Huh.
Because my progress has outpaced the weights we have at home, which is awesome. It feels great. And I added a couple of exercises in there you can add. But I'm using this Strong Lifts program, which is this guy... writes, and there's an app for it, so you can track everything as you go and plan your workouts and all that. And it's great. I can pop down to the basement for like 45 minutes, listen to music, do all my lifting, and then be done for a day or two. And when I first started out, again, I had super sore and really like wobbly walking. And
yeah,
and now
it was great because the whole time we've been together, I've been a runner. And so, like, I've gone on 10, 11, 12, you know, mile runs where I've been so wobbly and sore and, like, walking like a robot who has rusty hinges afterward. So for him to be, like, going down a flight of stairs and going, oh, God, and I'm like, ha, 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 ha,
yeah.
Awesome. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like, yay, I know how you feel, and fuck you.
Yeah,
I've actually been, interestingly enough, I've been working on workouts since the beginning of the year.
Because, yay. Oh, right on.
Because, well, I'm a diabetic. And one of the ways to improve your blood sugar is to actually exercise.
Yeah.
And I had been really good at it for years, and then I totally got off the wagon, and I went to my doctor at the beginning of this year, and my blood sugar is shitty as fuck.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I really need to exercise more. And he's like, yeah. He just said, dude, you kind of just do 5 minutes a day. He said, start with 5 minutes
jumping
a day.
Jacks.
Right.
Well, and I've got a fucking bicycle right outside the office here, and a stationary bike. And so I'm like, all right, I'll do 5 minutes
a day. There's even like a TV on it or something, right?
Yeah.
Or something?
So I'm like, okay, I'll do 5 minutes a day. And I did 5 minutes a day for January. And I said, all right, for February, I'm going to do 5 minutes twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're in March, and I've said I'm doing 10 minutes twice a day.
Nice.
I'm trying to get up to 15 minutes twice a day, just every day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do 15 minutes. Or it's either 15 or 10 minutes twice a day, or a sustained 30 minutes. So, like, the weather's been so good the last few days that Pat and I have just gone out for a walk.
Hell yeah.
For, you know, 30 minutes. And you mentioned that and you bring that up, and I was just noticing as we're recording this episode, I can take my wedding ring off.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, but it comes off now.
But it actually comes off, and usually it doesn't.
So that's results you're seeing. Results as well? Like,
yeah, in terms of like my appearance and stuff, I'm it's not really much of a concern for me. My goal really is to increase the numbers, increase the ability. But I've noticed because I'm doing every single session, I do squats, which are if you don't know what squats are, you have a bar on your shoulders, kind of behind your neck, and you drop down into a squat while keeping your torso kind of totally straight, and you drop all the way down as low as you can go, ass to the ground,
low.
And then back up standing.
Yep.
And they're kind of brutal. They're kind of rough. You have to really focus on form. Otherwise it can hurt your back. And the first time I started doing it, I dropped the bar once, like, and because of that, because of the other exercises, I feel like I'm more mobile now. Like, I'm at my level of mobility I am maybe during the Renaissance Festival, where I move around more, I'm on the ground and getting up more, and I feel like I'm more at that level of ability, but the numbers are what's really cool.
Tim, do you feel like with yours, you're more mobile than moving around?
I feel like, you know...
Like more like Renaissance Festival, Tim, as opposed to
I think it's making a big difference, cool. Just in terms of general, you know, general feeling. I get to be a lot... If I don't exercise, I'm a lot more tired. When I work out, my appetite is lower.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I eat less when I work out than I do...
You also have more energy.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's
like, and I knew, and it, you know, I know this. I've always known this. Mm-hmm. It's like when I work out consistently, I feel better.
Yep.
But it was that thing that you get out of the habit, and it was just really helpful for the doc to just say, 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
If you 5 minutes a day, you can do.
If you fall out of it, it's that the longer you are away from it, the harder it is to get back into it. Yep. I feel like.
And that's the other thing that I've done. We're talking about apps. There's an app called Habitica.
Mm-hmm.
Which
my friend Simone uses that all the time.
Our friend Winnie Bowlesby also she suggested it, and it's just one of these apps, and it's a game app where like every you do to do lists and you do things.
It's your walk-a-mon.
Like every time I exercise, I can hit plus on that, and then I can upgrade up my character's skills.
That's
and,
totally walk-a-mon. Yeah. That's all it is. Yep.
So, it's the gamification of lifestyle.
It makes it it helps you stay on. Course.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. People have always said to me, oh, you runners are all crazy. You know, you guys are different people. And it's like, sure, I get dopamine when I run. Like that, my brain is flooded with endorphins and dopamine when I run. So like for people who like to play games and do apps and stuff, if you have an app that encourages you to do a thing that's exercise, you're getting that link that other people usually get.
So I think you're talking about like seeing the results, and I think where I've seen the most results is looking at the raw numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And just in a month of lifting every other day, alternate exercises with the exception of squats, I've added 75 pounds to the amount that I can squat for 5x5. I've added 35 pounds to my bench press. I've added 30 pounds to my barbell row. I've added 30 pounds to my overhead press, and I've added 50 pounds to my deadlift. And deadlifts are fucking exhausting.
And strong lifts is the way that it works is if you can't do five sets of five reps, you stay at the same weight until you can.
Yep.
And then if you once you do it, you go up.
And even if you start to plateau or not being able to lift more, it'll actually start altering you to like 3x3 with a different weight, with more weight.
If you can't
do 5x5 at this weight, can you do 3x3 at a higher weight? Mm. And so the app itself starts to regulate how many sets and how many reps in your sets you do. And you can add other exercises, like just last week I added barbell curls and standing calf raises. And so, like, I've only added 10 pounds to those two lifts in the past, you know, week. But, like, it's been really exciting to get, like, sweaty and exhausted and beaten up.
I guess what we're all saying is if you're a nerd, find a way to make working out more nerdy.
Walk-a-mon, Habitica, strong lifts, anything that can give you that connection to your tech.
Yeah, every time I work out, I'm like super excited. I'm like, ooh, I get that's to get me. My character
Tim,
experience.
Every step I take gets me like something like 1.4 trillion experience. Yeah. So it's like my walk-a-mon, I'm like, yes!
Trillions of experience.
It's neat because, I don't know, it's neat to visualize the progress and see, like, actual, like, hard data for, like, this is improvement that you can measure, even though, like, the change can be so gradual in the mirror where you can easily get discouraged or not see the results. If I was just running on a treadmill, I don't think I'd see results as quickly or maybe just as quickly, but cardio is boring for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's different people, different
things. It's boring
things.
For most people.
For me, cardio, it's like if I can put on a movie or I've started playing Words with Friends with my family.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing the cardio,
I know that I'm a rare bird and that, like, for me, running that long is just, that's my zen. Like, that's my
great. But, you know, it's great that you can find something.
Yeah. I just like to get it over with.
Like sex, International Women's Day.
International Women's Day. Hey. All right.
Today, guys, today only a little bit of foreplay, all right?
Come on. Ooh. So, and with that, we're going to move on to five questions.
Five questions.
Who do
questions.
We have answers from, Molly?
We have answers from Ryan Gerber.
Well, that's a guy. Shit, that was the wrong choice for international.
Yeah, thing. Way to go, Ryan.
God
yeah.
damn it, Ryan.
Didn't you know?
Hi guys, I'm a big fan, long-time listener, second-time caller. Oh. You picked a pretty good time to come out with new questions since my answers to the last five questions had all changed. I was just contemplating whether I should send them in again under an assumed name. Luckily, there's no need to open that can of worms.
All right, question number one, what movie will you stop and watch anytime it's on or, you know, anyway... In this modern world where that's not so much of a thing, you understand the question.
The Princess Bride.
Okay.
There are plenty of movies I like better, but they tend to be better enjoyed as an event. This one works no matter what part is playing when I walk into the room.
Yeah, The Princess Bride is it's just so rewatchable.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you made a top 10 list of people's answers for this and made the general public or at least the nerd public... answer it, I think Princess Bride would be maybe top 5, top 10.
Yep. I think it would come up a lot because it really is one of those movies Absolutely. That you can just, you can enter, it's got it's a zero entry point movie. You can walk in at any point and you're like, oh, I know what's happened before now and I know, and I'm in.
Fun fact, my brother, the way he asked his wife to marry him was, because her favorite movie is The Princess Bride, so he, with my uncle, like, did this whole thing where in the middle of the movie, he interrupts it with him, like a video of him saying, like, you know, but the true romance, you know, is here and all this other stuff. And like, will you marry me? And so then he had this all and he had the ring and he had the movie. And he was like, they lived together. So he'd be like, hey, babe, want to watch Princess Bride tonight? And she's like, no, I don't want to watch that. Let's watch something else. Like three or four times she was like, no, let's watch something. Let's watch something else. And he was like, so when they finally watched it, she was like, oh my God, you've been trying to get me to watch this for weeks.
It was like super, 2 weeks. Yeah.
It was super great.
But at the same time, she's like, why won't he propose to me? Fucking A. All right. That's awesome.
Great. Question number two, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I own an Ocarina of Time.
Oh my God.
A real playable Ocarina of Time. It's not my most valuable possession, nor the hardest to replace, but it's the one I'd make into my Horcrux if I had the chance.
That's awesome.
And it works, too. Every time I play it, I'm 12 years old again.
So...
12 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So there's this... I love... You know, Tim, all right, not far from the Bear Stage at the Renaissance Festival, there's... like a pottery shop, and they sell like goat horns on leather thongs.
Yes, I'm well aware of that.
And they
shop.
Sell ocarinas.
They do.
Now the funny thing about the ocarinas they sell though is that they are
ocarina.
They're one note short, or one hole short of being able to do the notes necessary to do all the songs from Ocarina of Time. So when the hawkers stand out front and play almost the songs. To summon, like, a storm or change the daytime or whatever, Mull and I are just like, so close.
Okay, question number three. What supernatural being do you wish was real?
One who finds boring people, sends them off on adventures, and maybe helps them out a little on the way. So, you know, Gandalf.
I was going to say a dungeon master.
I like that. Yeah, Gandalf could. I'd be down with Gandalf being real.
I'd totally be down with that Gandalf.
Question number four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
Fascism is making a really strong showing right now.
Trump!
I should point out he sent his answers in December.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
But I suspect getting rid of religion would help limit the damages from that.
Sure.
Really, it's tough to beat Rebecca Watson's answer of economic inequality.
Yeah.
But I got in a bit of a Facebook debate with Tim where he suggested gender inequality. Perhaps let's just...
I don't
just
remember this, but it's probably true.
Perhaps we should just call it inequality.
Well, and the two are tied. I mean, you can clearly point out how gender inequality has led to income inequality and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
the snake eats its own tail. Ouroboros of equality.
Of inequality.
All right,
or equality.
Question number five. What is your favorite quote?
I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. Litany Against Fear, Frank Herbert.
Is that the second or third time somebody's pulled that one?
I think it's the second.
I think it's the second, but the next time I'm going to read it in a Bene Gesserit whisper. thanks for 179 great episodes.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to send in my next set of answers in 3 more years.
Ryan. So
I must not fear.
Thanks, Ryan. Again. I'm sorry for engaging in a debate with you.
What?
I think you liked it.
Yeah. You were wrong. You were wrong, Ryan. Ryan, you were fucking wrong.
You liked it.
So, International Women's Day. One of my favorite things about the Bene Gesserit Litany of Fear is that this old webcomic, Goats, did this. I had stickers of it. The Litany of Fear works equally as well if you change it to Litany of Beer.
Yes.
And it's, I must drink beer. Beer is the mind killer. Beer is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my beer. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn my inner eye to see its path. Where the beer has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain.
Wow. There it is.
You know what's sad is I bet that's a t-shirt at Spencer's now.
Oh, that's too bad.
You know, I went into a Spencer's the other day. P.S. Don't do that.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. It'll make you feel old and hate Juggalos more. Yeah.
And the girl with like the 8 fake piercings and the fake pony falls would be like, hey guys, I see you're in our sex and 40 plus section. Like, oh my God, isn't it funny how we have all these things? And I'm like, no.
Not really.
No, it's...
So, we're always eager to hear what you have a geeky boner about. What has your genitals engorged for the
whatever genitals they are.
Doesn't matter. Geekery.
Doesn't matter. We're non-binary with our genitals here.
That's right.
We support all engorged genitals.
Like, physically and, like, emotionally.
Spiritually?
No, not spiritually.
No, not spiritually.
A couple of things coming up. Our friends at Fearless Comedy Productions, which Tim is the artistic director of, put on this big 50-hour comedy marathon.
Holy fuck, 50 hours.
Ridiculousness called Die Laughing. And this will be the third year of Die Laughing. We'll be there recording live on April 9th at 4 p.m., and our guest at 4 p.m. is Melissa Karcher and Fess Works. And Melissa was our very first guest on the podcast. And what's great about having those two as our guests is that we'll be recording right after they are married at Die Laughing by a huge gang of comedian officiants.
At least numbering three.
Of which three of us are going to do it for sure. And many, many more. So we'll have the newly married couple.
Basically, we know that there need to be rings and...
I know all sorts of shit. I did a bunch of these.
And if you've seen our YouTube channel, I think Fess recorded the video and got us the video for that.
He's always been the one recording our videos at Convergence.
So you've probably seen Fess behind the scenes, and you've heard Melissa as a guest on our podcast at least twice.
She also did Gamo's.
She recently did the GMO's episode.
On our podcast three times, which is not enough.
At 9 p.m. On April 9th, our guest is Ariel Leaf, who is, as Molly said, kind of a Twin Cities theater maven.
Mm-hmm.
She writes, she's a writer, she's an actor, she's a director, she's a technician, she designs lights. And she's a new mother.
Yeah.
New mom. As well.
Yeah. New mom. So she'll be our guest at 9 p.m. You guys should come and check us out there. We're donating a few things to Die Laughing's auction, which, Tim, you said that's going to be online.
It's going to be online, so that means that people who are not local can bid on that. Yep. So that'll be open for that entire weekend.
Because we can Skype now.
Yeah. And what are we donating for Die Laughing, Tim?
We're donating a guest appearance on our podcast.
Which we can, as you said, we can do remotely now. And what's the other thing we're donating?
Oh, no, we're not donating it. We have a challenge goal.
We have a challenge goal,
like every year.
So
the very first year, we raised money to go to Grace Church.
And to shave your heads.
Yeah. And then last year, we raised money to go get audited by the Scientologists. And Nick, what are we doing this year?
This year, if we raise $1,000 for Fearless Comedy Productions, the three of us are going to go on a, quote, professional
Real ghost hunting.
Real ghost hunt.
Yep. Yeah. With equipment and EK, in a haunted place.
Not EKG. TKE meters or whatever the fuck. And,
it might be EKG. And it might be EKG.
It doesn't matter because they're using it wrong and it doesn't find anything because there's no such thing as ghosts.
I'll have a thermometer.
We're going to go on a professional ghost hunt if we raise enough money for Fearless.
And there are several companies that do that in the Twin Cities.
We've chosen one that seems to be the one to do.
The most legit of the not so legit. And... we don't know if we're going to be able to record during it, but we'll certainly record after it. And so if you can help contribute to that, that'd be awesome. You can help
Fearless Comedy, which they have a really ambitious plan for shows this year, so that's what they're raising money for.
They put on a lot of workshops for helping local performers audition and hone their skills and that sort of thing. And you'd be contributing to that.
Yeah, one of the things I got to say, because we just decided on this, one of the things that you'd be contributing to if you make us go to this ghost hunting thing, we're doing a show called Build Your Own Inferno, which is essentially taking Dante's Inferno and turning it into something where the audience chooses what's going to happen to the characters in the show.
Oh, dear.
Cool.
So it's going to be a workshop show that the company's going to put together.
And then a super awesome thing we have on the horizon, just the week after that, April 16th, 10 p.m. at the Bryant Lake Bowl in South Minneapolis, we will be recording our 200th episode.
Holy fuck!
Wow.
And probably our 201st.
Yeah, it's going to be two episodes because we got two great guests.
Two amazing guests we have, I went up to there. Ah. We have local radio personality Barb Abney.
Yay!
And Jeremy Messersmith.
International musical star.
And we're going to be recording live. We have a bunch of cool surprises and little... neat stuff planned.
Last time I met Jeremy Messersmith, I said a bunch of things, then I ran away. So watch and see if I'm able to be cool.
I think it was, "Hey, Jeremy Messersmith, I really like your music." And then you ran away.
I literally ran away. Like, I like moved my legs like running in another direction and did not respond or anything.
It was adorable. I had to explain your rapid disappearance to him because I was left there to him.
It was embarrassing.
So come see our live 200th episode
tickets
recording.
Available now.
April 16th, 10 p.m., Bryant Lake Bowl. We have some announcements and some other cool stuff there that we can't talk about yet.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
We can, but we're not gonna.
Yeah, because fuck
suck
you.
It.
Yeah, we choose not to.
We're
not
feminists.
Because of, like, theocratic laws.
We're not gonna talk about that on International Women's Day.
Yeah. It's International Women's Day.
Otherwise, if you have answers to our five questions, you can send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Please, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Give us a rating on iTunes and on Stitcher. We're newly on Stitcher. That's super exciting. And otherwise, I guess we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Young Squire, dost thou even hoist?
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Holy shit, I thought we were going to go short.